columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Chris Harris might be walking out that door. I believe it's more likely than not, but there could be a replacement. Adam Schefter tweeting just in the last handful of minutes that the Chicago Bears are releasing cornerback Prince Amukamara. Why is that significant? Well, in addition to another cornerback being on the open market, he's got obviously real ties with Vic Fangio. That 2018 season where the Bears defense was unequivocally the best in the NFL, forced 36 turnovers, 27 interceptions that year. The year before Vic came here to Denver, Prince Amukamara started 15 of the 16 games. He was injured for one, finished with three interceptions. He had 12 pass breakups, 66 tackles. One of the best years of his professional career under Vic Fangio. When I say the name Prince Amukamara, what do you think, Stoke?
It intrigues me, certainly. If you're not going to be able to bring back Chris Harris, so you don't want to entertain that, and you're looking to spend your money elsewhere, then guys like this are the guys that you want to sign. Veteran guys that aren't going to cost you a whole lot, that are getting released right now, and hopefully you can get some good football from them in the next year or two. While you still have some young guys, whether it be Bosby or Duke Dawson or
Devontae Harris
or whoever, young guys. You might draft a guy also. And hopefully our other guy from the Bears
Bryce Callahan
can stay healthy this year. But you're going to need to, if Chris Harris goes, you're going to need to bring a veteran in. And this type of guy, obviously, is intriguing. Former first-round pick for the Giants.
Yep.
Former teammate of mine for a few weeks.
Is that right?
In New York, yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, for a couple weeks.
You guys won a Super Bowl together.
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. I was on the team, but I didn't participate and didn't get the participation trophy.
Togwash. You caught a pass in the regular season.
So, it's intriguing, and he's been a part of the Vic Fangio defense, like you said, in Chicago. So if anybody knows him and knows him well, it would be Vic.
Sure.
So certainly Vic and John are having that conversation right now.
This past year, he played for $8.5 million. Not going to break the bank.
No.
Certainly. He's 30 years old. So he's 1 year younger than Chris. Chris is 31 or is he 30? I think he's going to play at 31 this year. Chris right now is 30. Yeah. He'll play at 31. He turns 31 in June.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder what kind of deal you'd be looking at here. 2 years, 15?
Probably something right there. You're not going to pay him more than he just made in Chicago.
You would think not.
Yeah,
at his age.
2 years, $15 million, maybe nine of it guaranteed. Something like that. Something of that variety. Guy's made $45 million in his career.
But it's intriguing. It's intriguing. And I think Vic knows him best. And so if you see the Broncos make a run at him, he's available right now. I don't know if he's officially been released. He will be released here shortly. But once he's released, we don't have to wait until March. We don't have to wait until free agency starts. New league year, free agency starts. Now all of a sudden these guys are going to become available. Nope. You can sign Prince Amukamara tomorrow if you wanted to. So he'll be signed here, I'm sure, before in the next week or two, before free agency starts. And if you're going to move on from Chris Harris, I mean, why not try to get a jump start on it?
It's interesting. Prince Amukamara was asked about Vic Fangio and his defense, and this is what Amukamara had to say.
Prince Vic's a pretty good guy. Did he give you any indication that he was particularly pleased with the performance against the Rams? And did he ever give you any kind of indication that, you know, you did something special?
No, and I know I've used this term before, but I mean, he's pretty much Bill Belichick-esque. Like, just, you know, you never really know how he's feeling. And, I mean, I was asking one of our coaches, I said, how does he act in the press box? Does he get excited and stuff like that? So, but after the game, he definitely shakes our hands and tells us good job. So, you know, he's pleased.
Sounds like Vic.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Vic we know. He'll give you just enough, but he's not going to be gushing over you. I wonder if this could work. I see Ryan Konigsberg is tweeted a handful of minutes ago. I've been told that Amukamara would have real interest in coming to Denver and reuniting with Vic Fangio. So he brought,
it's a good fit.
Brought Bryce Callahan with him, sort of indirectly.
Right. You know the defense?
Yep.
We need help there. It's not going to be a high price guy. So it seems like it's a good fit if Vic signs off on it.
Sure.
And if Vic says, yeah, I like my time with him. He's a good football player. Still got good football left in him. And I think that he could help us out. So I think it probably comes back to Vic and his views on Prince Amukamara and how he feels going forward about him, because that is an area of need, especially if we're going to be moving on from Chris Harris.
Just to give you an update on this NFLPA situation, the new collective bargaining agreement, the NFLPA has just put out a statement here in the last 60 seconds that says, quote, today the NFLPA Board of Player Representatives did not take a vote on the principal terms of the proposed new CBA. The executive committee looks forward to meeting with NFL management again next week before the board takes a vote shortly after, end quote. So it sounds like this thing is just being, you know, pushed down the road for just a couple of days here.
Right. And, I mean, that tells me that they got issues.
Yeah.
There's issues. I mean, it's something is holding this thing up, something that the players don't like, and they're going to try to get that addressed before they bring it to, I don't know, is it the 32 team, the 32 players that are representing the teams? I don't know, because they said earlier that it got 6-5. The executive committee voted it down on moving it forward. So we'll see. A lot at play here still. I think it's a good thing for the players. I think the things that I wanted to see addressed here that didn't get addressed last time, that got screwed up last time, are finally getting addressed. And getting fixed to a certain degree. So most of them, I like what's going on here. And I think, look, you can all win. Everybody can make a lot of money and be happy with the situation. And, to me, it looks like a lot of those things are moving in the right direction, and let's just get it done. But we'll see what that hang up is. You know, is it the 17th game? Is it that? Don't know. Don't know what it is. Don't know what the players don't quite like about it.
I'm sure we'll find out soon enough, and we'll update you when we do find out. But first, this CU head coaching search. Who is going to lead the football program? Guess whose name is now in the mix?
Oh,
details next.
Back again. Yeah, yeah. Shady's back.
I'm back. I'm back.
What's going on here?
I'm back.
That's funny, Steven. How about this? Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic put out a piece naming potential candidates for CU, and a name that has come up as just a name to watch is Vance Joseph.
Huh.
VJ, back in Colorado.
Heard that mentioned. Yeah, I've heard that mentioned earlier. I thought they kind of moved on from that.
There's a handful of names here, because what's happened here is CU would have liked this already done. It's late February. Sark? No thanks. I'll re-up with Alabama.
Okay.
Give me a raise. Eric Bieniemy, for so very obvious reasons, is not going to take the CU job. He's still he's on vacation celebrating a world championship, coaching one of the highest profile offenses in the history of the National Football League. He's going to get a job. He's not going to take the job. Despite, I know Mike Kliss put it out there earlier today. Hey, stay tuned. He's not out of it yet. It turned out that that wasn't really the case. Bieniemy's not taking the job.
No.
Not leaving the Kansas City offensive coordinator job to coach CU, despite it being his alma mater. They have one winning season the last 14 years. He ain't leaving Patrick Mahomes for that.
He's going to be a head coach next year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Troy Calhoun. I think if they were going to hire Troy Calhoun, it would have happened. They interviewed Troy Calhoun days ago. If it was going to happen, it would have happened. I don't know if Troy Calhoun pulled out. I don't know if CU said thank you, but no thank you. But the reports are that they're reopening the search.
Maybe starting over again?
Starting over again. And this is the last thing that you want, because, first of all, it's already so late in the game. But second of all, even from a perception standpoint, what it kind of looks like from the outside is there's not a front and center candidate. That's obvious, first and foremost. And the two guys that you really wanted to take the job don't want the job. And maybe even a third. Maybe Troy Calhoun said no. We don't know exactly the order of operations there. So it's a lot. And CU is just kind of hanging in limbo here in late February.
Yeah. No bueno. Not good at all, obviously. I think what you do here, Zach, is something that I mentioned right after it happened. I think you make Darren Cheverini the interim coach. If you're not going to make him the full-time coach, you make him the interim coach for the year. You go through the process, and if he does a great job, you hire him on to be the guy. If not, you kind of open it back up, and you look at a time when there's more availability, and you've been able to go through this process a little bit more thoroughly and detail-oriented, and you know that you're going to be doing it. Right. You know, Mel Tucker just left, and now all of a sudden you're stuck out in the cold, and there's nobody to choose from here, and you're just in a bad, bad situation. I think that might be the best option for the Colorado Buffs. And then you can open it up again towards the end of the year next year, and you can get an early jump on it, early start to the whole process, and go about it that way. Because right now it's a disaster, it's a mess, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better.
Right. And what you would do here, well, first of all, I don't hate that idea. Just like a year to catch your breath. Because the last thing you want to do is marry your rebound.
Right. Don't marry the rebound. Don't ever. Never.
I know a couple.
You do.
I know
Why
a couple.
Is that your best friends?
No. No.
It's not one of your best friends. You got a lot of best friends. It's not one of them?
Oh. No.
No.
Nope. But.
not him.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why didn't you pull him to the side?
I just wanted to watch it happen.
You wanted to watch the train wreck.
Oh, my goodness. Shoot. But I don't hate that idea. Just catch your breath for a second. Reevaluate the landscape instead of marrying your rebound. I mean, do you really want – is Graham Harrell who you really want to hire?
I've heard great things about him. I will say that. The USC offensive coordinator.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I've heard great things about him.
I mean,
you got to get the right guy, though. You can't, like you said, you can't just settle and say, we wouldn't have hired this guy, but right now everybody's turning us down and we just got to get this thing filled.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that. I like Rick George, the AD over there. He's done a great job around here, and I think he's going to find the right guy. And you know what? If you got to start back over again and you got to take a step back, then do it. But I think their best bet might be to just keep their interim coach and just go forward with it like that this year. I don't know how that hurts recruiting the following year. You got to think about things like that, those types of things. But it gives you a chance to jumpstart it on before everybody else next year.
Yeah.
When guys are going to become available and you'll be able to kind of handpick your guy at that time.
It would be, if you did the Darren Cheverini route, you take that year to catch your breath. It would be four coaches in 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, well, they still haven't caught up to the Broncos offensive coordinators. So
that's good.
They're still behind the Broncos.
That's good.
It's not what you want, Zach. Obviously,
of course
it's not what you want here, but you want to get it right. You want to get it right. Did the Broncos want to change offensive coordinators? Nope. But they want to get it right. And so if you want to get it right, then sometimes you just got to take your time. And it's got to be a little bit unorthodox. Or you just hire Cheverini, which I'm fine with. I mean, he's been a great recruiter. He's a Colorado CU alum, a great football player here.
He'd love
played
CU.
The NFL.
Yeah.
And he's done a great job.
Maybe he's the up-and-comer and it's a homegrown.
Maybe so. I you know, you got him right here. But it seems like they would already done it. Like, what's the holdup then? If
right.
they wanted him, he's
right.
here.
Right.
He wants to be the guy. It makes too much sense, but they just keep ignoring him.
Right. And do you really want to be the guy? Like Rick George is looking around, and just, all right.
Let me tell you.
It's yours.
I've been that guy before. I'm A-okay with being that guy. If that makes you the head football coach of CU, I wouldn't care.
Sure.
I've been the last man on golf trips before.
Sure.
Like, I've been overlooked, but then all of a sudden people bail and you're that guy. Okay, perfect. Let's
sure.
go, baby.
Hey.
You make the list, Zach.
Hell
it don't
yeah.
matter how you make the list. So
it's like Tetris. Get in where you fit in.
That's right. Exactly.
All right.
What an interesting story that just, we'll see.
Yeah, it's open-ended right now. Open-ended. All right. How about this? Last week, Stoke. Last week, you gave us two moves that can better the Denver Broncos, but you can't have it all, Stoke.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, well, I'm going to remind you. I'm going to remind
okay,
you.
Good.
And I'm going to make you choose between the two.
Okay.
Because you can't always get what you want. But if you try, sometimes
yeah,
you get what you need.
Oh.
We'll dive into
that's
it next.
Deep.
Whoa.
That may be my favorite Beatles song right there.
I tell you what. You can hear George just pumping it out.
Lennon. Unbelievable. One of my favorites.
Oh, shoot. I gotta read you this RamosLaw.com text before we move on to this conversation. We're talking about the CU coaching hire. Someone goes, maybe the interim guy becomes Dabo Sweeney. No.
Okay.
No. Last week.
Was Dabo the interim at Clemson for a while before he became the head coach? Is that what that means?
Oh.
See what I'm saying?
Oh, this guy
trying
went next
fun.
Level
trying
on
to
me.
Make fun of the RamosLaw.com texter. So I'm not sure. I don't know. Was Dabo the interim at Clemson for a little bit?
He may have been.
Don't know.
He was the interim.
Uh-huh.
You know what?
Now who's the fool?
You want major shout
E-Crow.
Out.
This but
is,
take that L on the way out.
Hey,
yeah.
I'll take the L. Hey, this is why you put your darn name on the text, because I want
right.
to gloss you right now, 297. I want to gloss you, but your name's not on it. That's a good thought.
Yeah.
That's a really good thought. I take that back, sir.
Yeah.
Or ma'am.
That's right.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Last week.
You're welcome from stopping you from continuing to look like a you know what.
Thank
that's
you.
That's what I'm here for.
Teammate.
Yes, there we go. I'm just Mr. John Stockton, just delivering
right.
assists.
That's right. Last week you gave two moves.
Okay.
That could better the Broncos. But you can't have it all.
All right.
I'm gonna make you choose between the two. You said you said a couple things in terms of wide receivers. You said
right.
you would like to have Amari Cooper. You would like to have Stephon Diggs. So I'll sort of clump those together.
And Stephon Diggs, we'd have to trade for.
Right.
You know, he's not a free agent, so you'd have to trade for him. And I think that's a possibility where the Vikings would trade him.
And we talked about this when you were gone. Did you see he deleted all the Viking stuff from his Instagram?
No.
Anything connected to the Vikings.
Is gone.
Has been deleted.
Is he
Diggs.
Going Antonio Brown a little bit? Is he going to try to get out of there like Antonio Brown?
I think so. He tweeted 2 days ago, life's too short, man. Just like kind of like cryptic out there. But the social media has become intertwined like a DNA helix with these guys that when they do something on social media that heavy handed, that
yeah.
means a lot. That means a lot. So we got to pay close attention to it. Does that kind of turn you off though with Diggs? Because the puzzle pieces are kind of adding up that he's kind of a headache.
A little bit. You look at where he's at with his contract and what that looks like moving forward. He's not going to get a new deal. Antonio Brown was, I think, really jockeying for a new deal and more guaranteed money. I don't know if Stephon Diggs has that type of power and leverage. So, yeah, it does a little bit because you don't want to have that headache around a young quarterback, a young offense, and trying to build this thing up the right way. You don't want that type of receiver with Cortland Sutton and with the offense and your young quarterback. So, yeah, it does a little bit.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Okay, so this has got to be the last time that we address this, by the way.
Okay.
So for moving forward, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. We know that wasn't the Beatles. We have like half a dozen people stop. My man Scott Rinaldi listening from Albany, New York. I mean, he must have came over with me.
Said, yeah, I came over with
me. No disrespecting the Beatles like that. They're the greatest rock band. This is the Beatles. Are you kidding me? Learn your music. We know. We purposely put the Rolling Stones here for this segment. You can't always. So moving forward, if you rock with us every day, you know. So we're no longer explaining that. Okay.
I thought it was the Beatles, really did.
Yeah. But you also said, in addition to being open to Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, you also, number one on our free agent fever board, number one is Eric Armstead, defensive end for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
Pocket pusher, monster of a man, arms are 9 feet long, just super strong. You're not going to be able to pay everyone here.
Okay.
So if I funneled you to one of the two, well, what would you prioritize for the Denver Broncos? Someone like Eric Armstead specifically, excuse me, or someone like Amari Cooper / Stephon Diggs?
Give me Eric Armstead. I want to keep a strength of strength, like John Elway said. Give me that interior pass rusher, that defensive end / defensive tackle. And I think if you add that to the mix, a guy that is entering his prime, a guy that can get to the middle of the pocket and upset the quarterback in the middle. When you have the edge rushers that we have, I think that is one of the missing pieces from this defense. So I'll prioritize the defensive end, Eric Armstead, over Amari Cooper / Stephon Diggs. I think you can look elsewhere and still find a receiver that can come in, a veteran type of guy that can come in, whether it be Perryman from Tampa, whether it's somebody like that, that maybe you won't have to pay as much for, like you're looking at Diggs making $10, $11 million a year. Amari Cooper is going to make more than that. Those types of guys. I think you can find one and kind of reference to like the Emmanuel Sanders contract that we got him on the first time.
Sure.
When he came here from Pittsburgh. That type of player. With that type of potential, but you get on the bargain side of things. But I'll pay for my defensive end, Eric Armstead, and prioritize that because we need that up the middle. We need that type of guy in the middle of this defense to really highlight and continue to highlight our outside pass rushers.
I agree with you. There's more fruitful ground at the wide receiver position in this year's draft. Then there is players like Eric Armstead.
Yeah.
He's a special player. And not saying that Amari Cooper or Stephon Diggs are not. Those are two, both really good players. But I can grab maybe Jalen Reagor at the top of the second round, something like that. Maybe LaVisca Chenault drops. Or you just grab CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy or Henry Ruggs in the first round. I saw a mock earlier today that had the Broncos moving up and grabbing CeeDee Lamb, making a trade. My buddy Tommy sent to me, making a trade with the New York Jets at number 11 and going up and grabbing that star out of Oklahoma.
Okay.
When I watch CeeDee Lamb on tape, it looks like DeAndre Hopkins. It really does.
That would be nice. To get a DeAndre Hopkins here, that'd be nice to compare with your young quarterback and your other young receiver.
Should we be paying attention to a second-rate wide receiver that's a free agent like Robbie Anderson a little bit more? He's a burner. He's not a great player, but he's
a head case, though. That, you know, he's a burner. We saw him burn Roby. I mean, I think Roby had to take a Roby day.
That's right. That was
the
original
because of
Roby
Robbie
day.
Anderson.
That's right. It ran by him twice.
Maybe some other stuff on the flight home, too.
Right. Got a little saucy.
You get a little headache the next day.
Even Deion Waiters is like, hey, don't act like that on the plane.
What's wrong with you, man?
That's a good one. I like that one.
So, but Robbie Anderson's a headache, man. You look at his his issues that he's had and his run-ins with the law and just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, thank you. It's just not what we need here right now.
Okay. Cool.
I'd stay away from him.
I'm thinking more personally, and I have him number two on my list after defensive tackle Jordan Phillips, Breshad Perriman. That's a burner. Former first round pick, didn't quite work out. We talked about him maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean that guy I did a little bit of homework on, and you ask people about him, and he's a great guy, great locker room guy, hard worker. So he crosses all those, you know, off the list there, which is important here, right? Where a guy like Robbie Anderson probably doesn't cross those things off the list. And so that I want to stay away from those guys. I don't have a Peyton Manning here.
Sure.
I don't have a veteran quarterback to keep guys in line that might be a little bit of a head case. We got a young offense with a young quarterback. We got to be very careful in who we bring in here, because all of a sudden you bring the wrong guys in here and this thing is a little bit of a mess, and we don't want that. So you got to make sure you bring the right guys in.
When you were doing your research on Breshad Perriman, any indicator why it just did not work out in Baltimore?
No. I didn't ask that, but he was a first round bust. I mean, he was.
He walked in the league his first year. He was 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then things
He couldn't stay healthy. I know that.
Yeah. Okay.
I know that, I think he had a hard time staying healthy, but you look at him last year, this is the type of what I'm talking about, Emmanuel Sanders type of contract that you can try to find a guy that hopefully, is figuring things out. It's a guy like him.
Maybe you catch him on an Eric Ebron type of rebound.
That's right. So he's got speed. He can stretch the football field. I think obviously you're going to draft a receiver somewhere in the first two rounds. You pick up a middle-of-the-road type of wide receiver. And then now all of a sudden you got Cortland Sutton. You're going to have a young early draft pick at the wide receiver position. You'll have a veteran free agent guy come in here that shows potential. And then you still have great depth with Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick. That's a nice, solid room right there.
Sure, sure. We were joking around about this yesterday on the drive. Boy, I hung around and with these knuckleheads, and we ended up laughing our heads off. If you missed that, it's on their podcast, hour number one. We were sort of fantasizing how things could go, and ended up ultimately determining that the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl this coming year.
Oh, wow.
Things really got out of hand. Even Nick Ferguson was like, hey, slow down. But
y'all are crazy.
But you picture a scenario where it's Cortland Sutton, someone like Breshad Perriman, and someone like Jalen Reagor in the second round. You know, you go Perriman, you stay out of the first round with wide receiver the way that you want to. Maybe you draft Tristan Wirfs. Maybe you draft
get a lineman,
the kid from Houston. Maybe you draft, you know, Becton from Louisville. And then you pick up either LaVisca Chenault, Reagor. One of those guys is going to drop. Everyone's not going to get drafted in the first round. The CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Reagor, Henry Ruggs, who am I missing there? Chenault. I mean, like, there's not going to be 8 wide receivers that go in the first round. T. Higgins, you're going to be able to get someone in the second round. Real value.
Yeah, I like that. Go offensive lineman, first round, second round, get your wide receiver, pick up a veteran wide receiver that you can get on a decent deal. I like going that route early in this draft. Go offense. Get yourself some offensive players to go with your young quarterback. That for me would be, you know, offensive lineman first. Let's get this offensive line figured out and protect the quarterback. If he doesn't have time, I don't care who your receivers are. You're not going to have a chance, and you're going to stunt his development. So I think offensive line is the most important position for this team moving forward.
Sure. Sure. You could build a couple different arguments and what the biggest priority is, and we still didn't do that. We'll do that maybe on Monday, SP. You know, rank the priorities of this football team right now, but certainly offensive line is right there at the top of the list. I do want to pass this along to you. Earlier today, we were having a conversation about Yasiel Puig to the Colorado Rockies. It was being reported by Purple Row as well as it was a Rockies outlet. as well as a couple other different places, that the Rockies and the White Sox are reportedly the front runners to sign one of the best remaining free agents, Yasiel Puig. And Patrick Saunders, our guy, has come out and just squashed it. He said he believes that there is no truth to it at all. Actually, I'll just read you his tweet directly. He says, regarding those Yasiel Puig rumors about him coming to the Rockies, I'm told there is no truth to it. It makes no sense. Which is sort of just talking it out, you and I, is the determination that we ended right. up with. Just you start putting it together and talking about it, and this piece, that piece, where is he going to fit? It just doesn't make sense.
No, you look at the depth in the outfield, and where is he going to go? What is he going to just be a part-time player? Obviously, you know, Blackman at his age, Dahl with his injury history, you have concerns there. Desmond, the same thing. So you say, okay, maybe provides depth, but the outfield's pretty crowded. Tapia came on late last year, so it just didn't make sense to us. And now Patrick Saunders kind of came out and said the same thing. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I would have preferred them to spend that money on, you know, whether it's $7-8 million for 1 year, whatever it was going to be for Yasiel Puig, to spend that on the bullpen.
Sure. And you know, just and I tweeted this out. Yasiel Puig, I mean, he was with the Dodgers for 6 seasons, and David Roberts had called him out, said he, quote, took plays off. The work ethic came into question. When he was leaving for Cincinnati, he said out loud that he didn't give L.A. his all and that he was going to change. This is after 6 big league seasons. Justin Turner called him out for being a bad teammate. The guy has been arrested a couple times. He's had incidents off the field, I think, in a club with his sister. He flipped off fans here, multiple brawls, including against the Colorado Rockies in 2018. And like you said, the outfield's full. Is he polarizing? Would he be an interesting player to watch and hold your attention? You're darn right.
Yeah, he would do that for sure.
The guy, you know, licks his bat. You know, it's interesting. Look, you're going to have a beer on the rooftop, watch Yasiel Puig.
Right.
It doesn't sound like a bad time.
No.
But
it would be entertaining. Like, that's the thing about him, is he is entertaining.
Sure.
He's going to go out there, and there'll be a ball that's hit, and he'll dive into the wall for it. And he'll get to the warning track, pick up the ball, and throw a guy out at third base that's trying to go from first to third. Things like that. I mean, he's got an amazing arm. He is fast. He's tough. But you just don't know what you're going to get. He's hot and cold.
Right.
So it's probably not a good fit for this Rockies team. And Patrick Saunders is kind of saying what we were saying earlier.
Yep. We came to that conclusion. I think the Rockies will be better for it. Look, I know they haven't made a move, but don't make a move for the sake of making a move.
No, right. Exactly. Exactly. But, I mean, you know, nothing wrong with a little bit of licking your bat. Zach, I've seen you put your Sharpie in your... I don't know what you drink over there, by the way. What is that, tea?
This is tea here.
You got tea half the time. The other time you got the emergency, and you swirl it around in there, and then you just, like, lick it. And you're talking about another man licking his bat.
If you want to lick your own bat, you can lick your own bat.
Nothing wrong with licking your bat.
If you've noticed, I have a progression here of liquids.
You do.
Hour number one, I start with my coffee.
Okay.
And then I go to my emergency, as in prevention of sickness. And then I drop my... single daily dose of vegetables that I let you try last week.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
And then you transition to that, and then you finish the last segment with tea.
Mm. Well, it's not working looking at what I'm looking at, so I think you probably need to reevaluate your protocol here and maybe,
I'm not trying to roid up.
I'm not saying
like your boy David Ortiz did.
Whoa. Where is this thing going?
Mitchell Report.
People don't forget. Mitchell Report.
People don't forget.
I forgot about the Mitchell Report. Holy cow, that was a long time ago.
And baseball has made you think, forget about it, because so much stuff has happened between then and now. And by the way, and I just want to say this, because I've landed conclusively where I believe that this thing should go. You know, one of the greatest scams and cheating scandals in professional sports history, the Houston Astros. Rob Manfred said he wasn't going to punish the players.
Right.
The GM and the skipper have already been punished.
Yeah. Suspended for a year, ended up getting fired.
Yep. The organization has been punished from a financial and draft standpoint.
They financially as much as you can find.
Yep,
that's
where
you find them.
$5 million.
Yep.
Took away a couple first round picks. The sporting world is not satisfied. The
right.
players themselves are not satisfied.
Right.
There's one thing left that needs to be done. I don't want it to happen. I wish this never happened, but it did happen. Rob Manfred needs to strip the Houston Astros of their 2017 World Series title. He said yesterday was a slippery slope if he were to do that. It's a slippery slope if he doesn't. The players didn't get punished. The World Series stand. And
too late for that.
It's too late.
You can't all of a sudden say, oh, you know what? Just kidding on the report and all the punishment stuff. We're actually taking the title from you.
But you're not punishing the players. You're not breaking your word on that. And I got an interesting text yesterday after the show from G-Man. You know G-Man, right?
Yeah.
And he brought up a great point to me that I didn't think of. How seriously the Olympic Games are a huge deal. Winning the gold medal in the Olympic Games is monumental for
sure.
You personally, forever, and for your country. If you cheat at the Olympics and they find out, you get stripped of that gold medal.
Ben Johnson style.
And others. It's happened a handful of times. That is like the pinnacle of athleticism or just athletes in general.
Did you watch the documentary on the Russians cheating?
They're coming through the ceiling. That was the craziest thing ever.
And if you haven't seen it, I forgot what it was called.
Oh, my gosh.
But when the Olympics were in Russia, they did a documentary on it and how they cheated the system, the doping system there. Invictus, I don't know what it was called. But it was
It
was unbelievable.
Icarus,
something like that. Yes,
I believe it's Icarus. Yeah, these dudes were coming in through the ceiling and slapping blood. But you screw around and you cheat someone out of a gold medal, they take away your gold medal. They're not letting it stand just because it happened. It's a slippery slope. I believe that this was so egregious, over the top, systematic, knowing the future type cheating that it warrants the level of punishment that matches what they did, and I don't think it's at that level. And I think the symbolism, we know the Astros won the World Series, but the symbolism of taking it away, I think, is the last step of this process. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, I disagree. I think enough's been done now, and they're getting punished. Their reputations are ruined forever. Like Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, you know, hitting all those home runs. Yeah, I think of those guys, I think, well, yeah, you hit him because you're on roids. Alex Rodriguez, I always think of him as a steroid user, as a cheater.
Sure. Barry Bonds.
Lance Armstrong, you can do whatever you want with his Tour de France titles and those things. No, not Barry Bonds. He was clean. He was okay.
Barry Bonds is actually a good example as a microcosm for the Houston Astros because these players are damn good players.
Right.
They're great players, and they were a great team, just like Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer.
Just like Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, just like Alex Rodriguez. These guys were Hall of Famers, but they needed to go the extra mile to gain an advantage. And
I'm not going to say I'm going to take it away from everybody because 3, 4, 5 guys or however many guys were doing it. So I'm not going to go to that level, but I certainly understand where you're coming from. Certainly understand here where you're coming from. I think the punishment has been enough for me personally. And I think the precedent has been set, and I don't think anybody will ever try to cross that line again.
I agree.
Because from an ownership standpoint, what they've gone through, the GM, the manager, you know, their butts are on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fired, suspended for a year. I mean, that stuff won't ever happen again. Just like Bounty Gate in the NFL. I mean, nobody's going to be saying, hey, here's $1,000 to go take this guy's head off and stuff like that because the precedent was set. You know, with what happened to Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints and Greg Williams. So I think enough's been done. Now, obviously, a lot of players disagree there and wish that the players would have got punished or a World Series would have been taken away. It's just a bad deal all the way around.
I want to read to you a tweet from John Heyman. He's an insider at MLB Network. He tweeted yesterday afternoon. He said, "What I hear in Astros clubhouse, they were convinced by a very veteran star player that, quote, everyone was doing it. Steamrolled is way too strong of a word. Starstruck might fit better. Feels like they're not sure what to make of that now. They were a young, impressionable team." So it sounds like one of the star players, the veteran players, either that or maybe Jose Altuve had been in the league for 8, 9 years.
Wasn't there that long? 3 or 4 years ago? Was he playing that long? Is he that old?
Yeah, I think he's in his late 20s. I think he's been in the
We're talking about this thing started 3-4 years ago.
That's true.
So
that's
true. I would think of somebody like a Beltran when he signed with them. That might be who he's referencing. Maybe it's Altuve.
But I mean, Altuve was a Silver Slugger back even 2014. So he had been around. You know, who knows?
Right.
We don't know. But it sounds like someone was leading this charge.
Yeah.
To some young players. Hey, right. This happens everywhere. We're going to take it to this degree.
And a guy like Carlos Beltran has been around everywhere.
Sure.
Like Jose Altuve, the only place he's known is Houston.
Sure.
So when you say been around, Beltran could be one of those guys, veteran guys that he kind of look up to. Hey, we all see, you know, everybody knows that stealing signs has been part of baseball. They always try to steal signs. They just took it to the next level.
Wow, this is just a wild story. It's one of the craziest that we've ever seen. All right.
You got wilder. I got wilder.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Can't wait to watch it.
Can't wait to watch it. Nuggets tonight. ESPN, 6 o'clock.
Your wife's out of town. By yourself. I hope he cries all night and wakes up.
Me and Owen, it's one-on-one.
It.
It's one-on-one.
I love it.
He'll probably challenge me better than Tyler did this past week.
Oh!
I had to slip it in there.
Oh,
all right,
goodness.
Thank you, Stephen, for a great week. We'll do this again on Monday. We got The Drive coming up next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.